The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday night, Friday morning edition of Football to the Max, more on the morning side at this point. But I am your host, Sean Garmer. Of course, we are part of not only the official football podcast at W2Net.com, but we are also part of Last Word Radio on Blog Talk Radio and Last Word on ProFootball.com. Eric, how are you?
Mixed. One of my teams learned how not to disappoint me, and the other, well, they just need to sign a quarterback.
Well, yes, two of the three Florida teams played on Thursday. It's kind of funny how these Florida teams keep getting the Thursday slot. But yes, Miami and Philadelphia Dolphins and Eagles, respectively, had the NFL Network Thursday night game, so we'll kind of focus on that. And, of course, Eric also watched parts of the Jacksonville, which is another one of his teams, you know, living there and everything, taking on the Carolina Panthers. So that game will get some attention as well. And then there's a little bit of news, not a lot. So this may be one of a shorter show, but we'll see how it goes. I guess we'll start with now I missed the first quarter because I had to do something. So mm-hmm. I had to go back and watch highlights, but I watched most of the other three quarters. What I got out of it is that Jay Cutler still has a bit of a ways to go,
to say the least.
Jay Ajayi is on form. Scores two touchdowns, has a big run. He got 50 yards in the game. He's going to be fine. Devontae Parker did get a huge play for them. So perhaps, you know, everybody talking about him progressing is going to happen. And Jakeem Grant gets a huge play as well. But that's, of course, when you already have the third team, fourth team guys in there, of course, with Dowdy at quarterback at that point. Matt Moore looked awful. He threw two interceptions. And, yeah, I mean,
I was getting ready to heap praise on Matt Moore and feel bad for the guy for everything that he's been through. And he comes in and immediately craps the bed. Now, with Devontae Parker, Cutler has said, oh, he's a good player, he's speedy, he's like a taller, what have you, form of Alshon Jeffrey, basically saying how he's going to be the guy. You would expect him to make those kind of catches. I said this when I tuned in and saw the game, it's going to be a very weird year for Miami. I don't know where it's going to go. But I know Jay Cutler is going to find bakeries and donut shops. he's going to look like he doesn't give a crap and wear shades more often. And this is close to what we're going to get.
He did lose a fumble as well, Jay Cutler. But
again, this is close to what we're going to get. This is him at his peak. Raw.
Yeah, you're going to get the good and the bad with Jay Cutler, obviously. I think, you know, but Matt Moore wasn't that great behind him either. Of course, you know, he had the worst goings of it. On the Eagles side of the offense, Carson Wentz did throw two touchdowns, one to Alshon Jeffrey, and one long bomb to Torrey Smith. So, you know, the offense loses some receivers, gains more, or uses the ones they already have and are pretty effective. The running game still has its ups and downs. Yeah, Corey Clement did score a touchdown late on against this. Kind of still when you had some of the second guys in there, first and second guys. And, yeah, the rest of it was kind of a by-committee sort of approach there for them. But this really was the story of a defense for the most part for both the teams.
Which was surprising considering how it was a 38-31 game.
Yeah, there was a lot of touchdowns and stuff, but there was also a lot of – there were 7 turnovers in this game.
7 turnovers, a bunch of penalties – one that canceled out my boy Marshmallow's big play.
Stringfellow.
I know his name is Stringfellow, especially because I heard it tonight. But for some reason, he's always going to be Marshmallow to me. I'm sorry, this is how my head works.
Okay, if he makes the team, you can call him Marshmallow. But for now, we have to call him Stringfellow. Because he may not get to hear his name anymore, so, you know, we should say it right, at least, you know, okay, at least well, for...
Well, let's compromise this. Does he have a Twitter?
I don't know. Maybe we need to go find that.
Yes, if somebody can tweet me with his handle, at Squid Sportshead, and say, hey, this is Stringfellow, I'd be like, what up, at whatever his handle is, hope you make the team, hashtag Marshmallow.
Yeah, he did have a big play, which sadly was called back. But, hey, Jason Phillips had a big interception, almost returned for a touchdown, but he went out of the 3-yard line. They originally had called it a touchback, and then they had to go review it for him to be at the 3-yard line because it was like, wow, a whole interception return only for it to mean no points at all. Because the ball went out of the back of the end zone.
Well, there's been worse. Remember, one of the longest plays to not go for a touchdown was 101 yards. Football is a quirky sport.
Yeah, that of course led to one of Jay Ajayi's two-yard touchdowns. But, yeah, I mean, this was, like I said, a very, like, sloppy game for the quarterbacks, and the defenses were stepping up where they had to. Then, of course, if you're working with short fields, other than the two big plays for there was big plays, obviously, on both sides. You know, I said Devontae Parker and Jakeem Grant, and then you had the Torrey Smith one, but for the most part, you know, stuff you don't want to see from a Carson Wentz or a Jay Cutler or any of these guys for that matter. Just throwing it up there and having Lawrence Timmons intercept the ball or Jason Phillips or whoever.
Well, I mean, for Carson Wentz, it's going to be potentially that bit of a sophomore jinx. And Jay Cutler is Jay Cutler. He finally revealed that he cared, but I'm not buying it.
Well, I mean, again, I think we got to see more of him, right? And he's probably not playing in that fourth preseason game.
No, so because I don't think you're going to see any starters whatsoever in the fourth preseason game because you've got those last position battles to be set up, and it's the one lone preseason cut, which is how it always should have been. But this is a chance for one last bit of game film to show, all right, this is what we got.
Yeah, I think certainly I like that idea of having the one cut. Yeah, it's a harder decision for the coaches, right? But they make hard decisions all the time. You kind of already know who you're going to have on the team at this point. Now it's just like when you get to that fourth preseason game, it's okay, who's on the line that shows me more here? And then you kind of go with that guy, right? And then I think the worst part of it is now for these players that, and we learned in the Miami game kind of the logistics of it because they kept talking about it with Tannenbaum about how this is going to work, that basically they get cut on, what, Saturday?
Yep.
And then that's by Sunday... everybody's available and everybody gets to pick 10 people and it's like, whoa.
But I mean, to me, this seems a lot easier than, okay, you have next to no film whatsoever and then you have to make a cut. Then you have to make a second cut and then all the chaos happens. This way you get film on everybody, you see 4 weeks worth of practice from everybody, and it's like, all right, you are able to improve this, you suck at that, you can't do this, you're worthy here, off you go.
Very true. And I do love the fact that the Dolphins have a player named Praise Martin Aguke as well. That's a pretty awesome name. Praise Martin, folks. Praise Martin. At least the game was fun, right? There's a lot of points. And Dolphins couldn't score in the fourth quarter, which that's what kind of did them in. Not that anybody really cared again. But, hey, you know, Eagles go along and win. And then you have Carolina and the Jaguars, and yeah, Bortles is playing with the second teams at this point. So perhaps he winds up looking better on the stat sheet, but Chad Henne is the one that got the start.
And he did not help his cause. Really whatsoever. Yes, he was 8 of 14, but you do that, yet you complete your first 4 passes for a grand total of 14 yards. In your first drive, you lose 10 yards going 3 and out. I mean, during the Bucs game last week, there were plenty of images going around of a fan in the stands wearing a number 7 Colin Kaepernick Jaguars jersey. At this point, Doug Marrone, I don't care what you say, you better convince Shad Khan to go out and make that deal. Because, I'm sorry, Blake Bortles, when he was going against the ones, terrible interception, forcing passes, holding on to the ball with 3 guys in front of his face a little too long, it was just pathetic. It was pathetic. Oof.
Yeah, and then at least positive things on the running side. Grant had that, like, 50-yard run that he got, and then Chris Ivory wound up running in the touchdown.
Yeah, well, that run came on a fake punt. So,
hey, great,
but the Jaguars aren't a team that can rely on gimmicks like that. While it's fantastic, it's like asterisk.
Well, it's also in the preseason, you're not really expecting something like that either.
And that's why I say it's a great gimmick, but it's a gimmick.
Yeah, and the worst part is, you know, Leonard Fournette thinks that things are easy running in the league. Wait till they stack the box against you and you can't run at all because they know that either Chad Henne or Blake Bortles aren't beating them.
Well, granted, true, but let's also be clear. He said, hey, NFL's easy after scoring a touchdown in Foxborough. What happens? Someone steps on his foot and screws up his toe.
Well, but those are injuries. That happens.
I know, but it's like, hey, you kind of jinx and curse yourself.
Yeah,
that's welcome true. To Jacksonville. These sorts of things happen more so here.
Christian McCaffrey looked good on the Panthers side. He caught some balls. Ran for some, didn't have the. He caught one ball, ran for a few, like about 7 attempts. You had more production out of Jonathan Stewart, who got a 31-yard long run, and Cameron Artis Payne got 2 touchdowns. Short runs.
Yeah, good for Artis Payne getting those hard yards. For me, just like how David Johnson, there's talk of his personal goal and what Bruce Arians is going to do in Arizona, him being the first ever 1,000 guy, I can see McCaffrey going maybe 600 this year.
That's not a bad guess for him, right?
Mm-mm.
Thinking that they're still going to be using Jonathan Stewart a lot, and then they also like to use a lot of their different, you know, the Fozzie Whitakers, the Cameron Artis Paynes, those guys are going to get touches too, so.
Yeah, they have a very, especially for them, deep backfield, so I think that's why McCaffrey will help with the receiving numbers. He'll get those first before he'll rack up some of those rushing yards.
And we did get to see Curtis Samuel. He caught about 4 balls for 15 yards. So it looks like they're going to be using him more as a passing guy than a rusher.
Yeah, because, I mean, they really want to get Cam Newton as many targets as he possibly can because, well, there's really no more excuses for him. Tired shoulder and all. It's, you got to step up. We're going to get you help, but you have to become more of a pocket quarterback for your own safety and for our franchise. So they're making that easier on him.
Yeah, he only threw 2 times on the drive which one of them was the touchdown to Kelvin Benjamin. So, I mean, again, like you said, take the ball out of his hands and make others help him instead of him having to do everything.
Exactly. Don't turn into someone like Tyrod Taylor up in Buffalo.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. Well, I mean, I can't blame him. He lost a lot. He's had to go through a lot in one off season.
Hey, if anybody is curious to see, would the option still work in the NFL? Head up near the Great Lakes, because you might be about to find out.
But yeah, Carolina winds up winning this game by 1, even though Jacksonville tried to rally.
Well, no, they tried to rally. They got the touchdown, but again, because the NFL is too stupid to get rid of overtime for the preseason, Jacksonville understandably went for 2, Bortles understandably missed, and Carolina's 3rd and 4 guys understandably pressured Brandon Allen at the end of the game, so that potential game-winning drive, stalled.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Arizona-Chicago game that I thought about. Like, in a real-life situation, they would have been tied and gone to overtime, but preseason, and don't need to do that.
It's preseason. They would have been tied, gone to overtime, probably would have wound up as a tie, or fans would have had to suffer through even more miserable weather only to see the Jaguars lose. So this way you get it done in the 60 minutes.
So we move on from talking about games here. And, of course, we are in our final week of when the games matter, these dress rehearsal games, if you want to call them that, that we'll be talking about on the Monday, Tuesday, or, yeah, Monday night, Tuesday morning show. We'll get into the specifics on those later on, but we do have a few news and notes, one being that in that Oakland and Dallas game, Ezekiel Elliott is going to play. There's a lot of thought, at least in the Cowboys circles, that maybe Zeke shouldn't play at all. That even Emmitt, after he won a rushing title, he wasn't playing in the preseason. That it would have been okay if Zeke didn't. You know, especially considering that suspension's sitting there on his head right now. We don't know if it's going to stick, but right now it's there.
I mean,
good decision to play him, or...
I like it because we know he's going to be missing some time. And if you don't play him in the preseason at all, especially since you have the Hall of Fame game, so now you're going at most 11 games without him doing anything. While that's fresh, great. You still have that little bit of rust that you're going to want to shake off. And that happens with everybody. So playing him, even if it's just for a little bit in this preseason game, get him live touches, get him some game action, then let the chips fall where they may. I like it.
I like it too. I think you do need those reps because, like you said, it's potentially he may not be back till week 8 if that suspension holds.
Uh-huh.
You need him to look. He's not going to be thinking about those at all, because you're going to have so much time off. But just to, you know, get him in that rhythm with the offense, get him again, just getting used to that. Everything else, in a game time situation, different deal, right? I don't know that he needs it again, especially if he's going to be suspended. If he's not, then definitely. That's something that he needs. I think either way you'd be fine, but this is the better option. Going with the idea that you think he's going to start week 1 and you're playing him.
Absolutely. So that way, just like when swimmers, they splash the water against themselves before they dive into the pool so they avoid going into shock. This is just that little splash before you hit the water.
Not wrong.
Look,
I like the analogy.
This is how my mind works. Did we not establish this on the last soccer podcast?
I know. We always establish that you think of great analogies that may not always be the one that everybody's thinking about, but they work.
Mm-hmm.
So, Houston,
you're welcome,
Texas,
dear listeners.
Yes, to pick this man's brain is a joy every week. But some bad news for Houston. Houston, Texas receiver Jalen Strong, who did score a touchdown in the previous preseason game, has been suspended for the opening game of the 2017 season because he violated the NFL policy against substance abuse.
I'm wondering what it was. Because that has a lot to do with my opinion.
And they denied his suspension, too. So, this is based off of that marijuana possession charge that he got last year, I guess.
Okay. While the league does need to lighten up, I get that, yeah, and I've always said this, if you're stupid with weed, you need to be hit with something. It doesn't need to be life-altering, but just, you know, a little smack across the face.
Well, this is what Jalen Strong had to say about it. He said, "I'm disappointed to find out I've been suspended for the first game of the season for an incident that took place a year and a half ago. I've done everything right since that night. I've learned and matured. I've dedicated myself to being the best person I can be for this team, this city, and our community. And I want to be someone the kids can look up to. I made a mistake that night, but I won't let this define me." I mean, you say the things you should say.
A year and a half?
February 2016, yeah.
Oh, dear sweet.
Oh, you know, Roger Goodell, sometimes, man. But that's the thing, right? Like, if you let this go, then where is your statute of limitations, right? You then have to go set a statute of limitations that says, okay, if it didn't happen 6 months ago, we're not messing with it. Like,
end of the season.
End of the season what?
Like, save
you basically get cleared every season?
I mean, if you think about it, I would go, like, no more than a year. Say,
well, then that means Zeke should have been cleared from his thing, then.
I completely agree. I stand by that.
I'm just saying, I can understand why the league doesn't do that, right? Because there's times where you find out things, and what if they happened 3 years ago, but it's awful? But you just find about it now. You know,
okay, a year from when you find out about it, or during that until the end of that season where you found out about it.
You aren't wrong, but I don't know. I think it just opens up too much of a gray area for them.
Well, hey, but Damora Smith, I hope you're going to take that and run with it, because let's face it, you say work stoppage in 2021, I'm starting the betting pool at maybe 2019, because really, there are going to be more and more tallies, and more tallies that you get in situations like this, even though it's only a game, the more and more that more people want to see sort of a message.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's just, like, I just don't know what you do in that space, because, you know, marijuana is still illegal in many parts of the country. So then you have to penalize him for something like that. And then, again, like, you have to have an agreed upon. This has to be in the CBA, for one. So until it's in the CBA of, okay, you have a year from when he's arrested or whatever to pass judgment. If you wait till the next season, it becomes cleared or whatever you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be in the CBA. I don't think that can just be something that they add on.
Oh, yeah. And I agree completely. That's why I say maybe the work stoppage comes sooner, so you force that issue. Because if you get more and more negotiations as that CBA expires, then you've already got everything when it does expire in 21, signed, sealed, delivered, everything's already behind you.
Yeah, you aren't wrong there. And that doesn't end it for offensive players getting suspended. As if the Chargers needed anyone else on their offensive line to be gone for games, offensive lineman Max Turk has been suspended 4 games without pay for violating the performance-enhancing policy. He took over-the-counter supplements, which opened himself up to consuming a tainted supplement. He accepts responsibility. all that stuff. He was their third round pick last year, but didn't play any games his rookie season, and now he has to wait until October 1st to play against the Eagles, possibly.
It's a very tough chain when you're coming with over-the-counter supplements, what's tainted, things can happen, what's legal, what isn't. I'm not blaming the league on this one, but this is one of those things that it's got to be better defined, better protocols, better quality control testing, so that way things like this can be minimized. If not entirely avoided, minimized.
Yeah, that's... But I think they're given the supplements, right? The things that are on the banned list?
Yeah, you get that list of supplements, which is a good start, so you have a heads up. But if you're taking with something over the counter, I guess it would be more knowledge of, hey, these are supplements I can take, these are supplements that I can't. Maybe there could be some kind of contract that could potentially work into an endorsement deal for the league or the players to work with, especially bigger chains, which a lot of these guys go to, like a GNC or whatever, and say, hey, if it's got this, this, and this, or if it's got this or that, then it's a no.
Yeah, but they gotta read labels too.
No, and I get it.
Pay someone that does it for you.
And this is what I'm saying. Have someone extra to read those labels. Because apparently, some of the players are, some of these players aren't. And granted, I'm sure you've got a good percentage of the guys that wouldn't be able to pronounce half of the damn things anyway.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, how many of those things are filled with stuff that we don't even know what's in there? I mean.
And that's why I say it's not just the labels and the supplements, it's also improved quality control testing.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is something with the league. Like, they gotta figure this out.
Am I wrong in thinking that you turn your wheels trying to refute something where you just realize that you can't?
No? yes? I'm confused right now.
No, I mean with you. Maybe that's wrong. When I'm picking up, it's like, wait a minute. You're going to try to come up with a counter-argument.
Is no counter-argument to that. I mean, you're right. I'm also like trying to read the next story, and sometimes I get lost in what I'm doing. So that happens as well. So I apologize if sometimes I don't have the next thing to say. But
it's all good. It changes up my strategy, but it's all good.
So the Raiders are not really that concerned with when Joe Flacco gets back.
They should be, because have they seen the same Ryan Mallett that I've seen?
Look, every time John Harbaugh gets asked, he's like, I thought he played okay.
Yeah, okay. Fans, media, everyone. There's this little term that was coined several years ago. It's called coach speak. As in, this is what someone who's in charge is going to say so they don't look bad, the team doesn't look bad, and they therefore get fired. This is coach speak. Coach speak. You see how it's pretty self-explanatory and it's only two syllables? Coach.
Well, of course he's not going to go out and be like, oh, this guy sucked. Only like some coaches do that, like Bruce Arians. Like,
yeah, and this is what I'm saying. Bruce Arians doesn't believe in coach speak. John Harbaugh does. I'm just trying to say, hey, yeah, you're going to ask him. This is what he's going to say. Look with your own eyes.
Possibly also that the owner pretty much told him, like, we're not bringing somebody in unless they're off the scrap heap when the cuts get made. So
better
get used to him.
Bigger mistake on his part, but we'll let the Baltimore fans deal with that with him.
To be fair, they're also still within that 3 to 6 weeks diagnosis for Joe Flacco. So, you know, as long as he's there for week one and you're not studying Ryan Mallett week one, that's where you should be worried. So, you know, I'm sure that this was a big deal for you guys over at the Raider Ramble, Donald Penn ending his holdout.
That was one of the main things, is there was, let's just say, I don't necessarily want to call it Twitter beef or Twitter drama, but there were some biblical verses broken out at the end. I'll just leave it at that. But overall, this is extremely good news nonetheless. Buried today, but very good news.
Yeah, the Raiders basically want Donald Penn to show up in good faith so that before they start any kind of negotiations, and look, it took him a while. He thought that he didn't need to do that, but he finally just showed up, and I'm sure he'll probably have to pay some fines for missing things, but...
Yeah, any of the mandatory stuff, he's going to be hit a few grand a day for the specific number of days, but he can make that back up.
Yeah, I'm sure that's out there, especially if he gets his contract extension. He won't be too worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
In the end. So, I mean, I know you haven't probably watched too much of the Cowboys preseason stuff, but you know, I've mentioned it here, and Gary has as well, of Cooper Rush outperforming Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen some good chunks, and I've seen and followed Kellen Moore for a long time, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, and now the team has started to give Cooper Rush routes with the second team, which formerly were of Kellen Moore's spot. You know,
good.
I've mentioned this
Jason
before
Garrett
that. Yeah, I mean, that's what you just kind of want to see him have faith that, okay, let's reward this guy that's been playing well. I don't know if they'll drop Moore because, again, he has too much love in the organization. But, you know, Dak was supportive of Cooper Rush, and do you think maybe it makes the team consider keeping three quarterbacks then?
Possibly, but we've got two preseason games left, and if he's getting time with the twos, then he'll, for all intents and purposes, start that fourth preseason game. I think if he does well in that fourth preseason game, which for the Cowboys would be their fifth, then he's officially the backup, and I think Kellen Moore is off to another team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up on the scrap heap there if Cooper Rush really outperforms him again. And that's what I feel, too. It's like, just give Cooper Rush that chance of, okay, he comes in after Dak in that dress rehearsal game, and see what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Kellen Moore plays better with those third-team guys, then you know that it's just, okay, it's the third teams against the third teams, and it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback there. But there's also something to be said for, you know, Cooper Rush is getting better protection with the third-team guys than he is with Kellen Moore with the seconds and all that kind of stuff with the offensive line, so... You know, you got to test that ability. You know, does it really hurt Kellen Moore, who's already got a contract with the team, if Cooper Rush starts over him? Not necessarily, because Cooper Rush still has to prove that he can perform, right?
Yeah. And you're trying to give him not even so much the best chance for you to win, but the best chance for him to perform. It's what you need, and by doing this, you're giving him the best chance and saying, okay, now granted, I don't know, and I would highly advise against giving him even fringe time with the ones, but kind of blend him in between the ones and twos and see how it goes.
Fair enough. How do you like that they set this Sunday schedule up very much like the Sunday schedule we normally get? I guess they have to practice too, right?
Yeah, they have to practice, get the broadcast teams in place, just like you did Monday night where you saw both the A and B team as they get ready for Monday Night Football on ESPN. I get it. It's just going to be highly annoying for me. Because Sundays this time of year, I devote to a few other things, but...
college football's coming back.
True, true. Now, if they really wanted to do it right, they would have someone, say, do a special preseason edition of Red Zone. I would not complain as much.
Yeah, but that's why they have a lot of the games on Saturdays still.
True. They've done that before, though. They've done Saturday Red Zone. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh, no, because that... like, last week of the season, a lot of the games get played on Saturday. Right?
Like, week 17?
Yeah, like, one of the weeks they play a variety of games on Saturday. Like, it's like week 16 and 17 they start playing some games on Saturday.
Yeah, after Thanksgiving and they go week 16. But since they changed week 17 to it being divisional games only, they've strictly made that Sunday.
So, yeah, I think on the previous podcast I kind of gave you the lineup for us, but might as well just do this one more time. You've got the Patriots and Lions and Chiefs and Seahawks on Friday. Chiefs and Seahawks are on CBS, by the way. So if you have a local, CBS affiliate that you watch, you might be able to get to watch that game. That's at 8 p.m. Then on Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, you have 9 games, starting with the Cardinals and Falcons, Bills and Ravens and Jets and Giants all at 7. You got Colts and Steelers, Browns and Buccaneers at 7:30. Then the Raiders and Cowboys at 8. Chargers and Rams is going to be on CBS at 8. And then Texans and Saints at 8. And the Packers and Broncos are the lone 9 o'clock start. And then Sunday, 1 p.m., very much like you'll get used to, every Sunday starting September 10th, right? September 10th?
Yes, September 10th.
The Chicago Bears take on the Tennessee Titans, and you got the Bengals and Redskins at 4:30, and then the Sunday night games, the 49ers and Vikings to end things. So.
Hi, yes. You have the new L.A. clash, that battle for supremacy, and Jets-Giants, or as the New Yorker calls it, the hibachi dinner game.
Is that really what they call it?
Yeah, well, he always makes a bet with his dad. He's a Jets fan, dad's a Giants fan. Winner, loser treats the winner to dinner.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's going to end it for us here. As I said, it might be a shorter show, and it is. We'll be back on the Monday Night Tuesday edition talking about all these games and whatever else has been going on. And then we'll be kind of laying low for a little. Well, that Thursday show may not be as electric as normal because they're... we'll kind of just be picking some games to talk about, even though they may not matter so much. And then don't forget, not this Monday, like I said, but next Monday we will not have a show. It will be on Tuesday night for our big season preview, talking about all the teams, who's going to win the division for each conference, and, you know, where are the teams going to wind up, talking about records, other things like that. It's probably going to be a longer show, probably closer to the 2 hour mark. I hope not, but I'm just warning you. And Gary will be with us for that for sure, and it should be a fun one.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And to give you guys a treat, I won't even guarantee sobriety for the Thursday show.
Nice. Alrighty, well, if you like what you heard, of course, you can always hit subscribe. You can always write a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Comment on YouTube. Comment on W2Net.com. On the last word, profootball.com page, you know, post there. Wherever it is you're listening to us, thank you. We appreciate it, and we'll see you later.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.